Thank you for tuning into Vine Life with host Janine Davis, with special guest, youth pastor of Ignite Ministries, Pastor Jason Williams.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis. And this morning we have a special guest, Pastor Jason Williams. He's a youth pastor of Turning Point Church. He has an awesome ministry called Ignite Ministries. Good morning, Pastor.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. You know, it's been like teeth trying to get you here, pulling teeth.
I'm a busy man.
Yeah. But God always has his way.
Right.
Amen.
True that.
Okay. So, Pastor, I want you to give us a little bit of info about yourself. I want you to tell us how and when God called you to this awesome ministry of mentoring youth.
Actually, as I was a teenager at a youth camp, I really felt like God was calling me into student ministry. So I started serving my youth pastor as a teenager, and then from there started working with my mentor, Mark Jobe. I volunteered for a couple of years. I went part-time for a couple of years and full-time for about 4 years. So a total about 7 years I served with him in the student ministry before I became a youth pastor myself.
Okay, so at a very early age, God came into your heart and saved your soul, and you received him as your savior.
Yeah,
is that definitely what drew you to, like, the student camps and the Christian camps?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home, and when I was young, that's when I gave my life to Jesus. And when I was a teenager at one of the youth camps, you know, me and my best friend, actually, it was a big, huge camp, and my mentor came up all the way to the top of the stadium where me and my friend were kind of messing around up there, and he kind of challenged us, you know, if we were going to make a decision to follow after God or not. We both went down, all the way down to the front, to the altar to make that decision. But unfortunately, my best friend didn't stick with it. So we kind of had to part ways because I was definitely going to pursue God and what he had for me. So that was one of the first decisions I had to kind of make, was to follow after God, regardless if my friends were going to or not.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you this question because I had a young teenager, you know, tell me that he thought that God was calling him to this type of ministry. And he looked at me, he said, how do you really, really know? So how did you really, really know that this is what God was calling you to?
Yeah. Well, when a teenager tells me they want to go into the ministry, I try to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
Because if I can talk them out of it, then God hasn't called them. If they don't have that burning passion in them,
yes,
then nobody can talk them out, because there's going to be tons of things left and right if you're going into ministry that are going to give you reasons to want to back out, to pull out, to burn out. So you have to know that you're called and know that you have the grace to do it, especially in youth ministry. That's why I think we see so many. I think the average is still that, you know, 15 month is the average youth pastor stay, I've heard. And that's obviously pretty sad. You know, whether it's just they're using it as a stepping stone to get to another ministry or whatever, they eventually want to be a senior pastor, or they just think it's about hanging out with the teenagers and going to Six Flags and have no idea what they're in for. You know, they just don't have God's grace on it, and they're not ready for the spiritual warfare and the things that are going to take place. So I think that's a reason why a lot of them aren't called to be a youth minister.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said spiritual warfare. Let's get into that for a few minutes. Give us some illustrations and examples of some of the spiritual warfare that you have experienced as a youth pastor.
Well, I mean, I know one of the biggest challenges for a lot of youth pastors, believe it or not, are the parents. A lot of people say, what's the thing that you dislike the most? And a lot of it is the parents, not just because all the parents are bad, but a lot of times you run into where the parents are, you know, teaching the exact opposite of what you're trying to, you know, impart to these young people. Or they might be saying it, but they're living a totally different thing at
home.
Now
that right there, because they're not living, they're not being an example of something that they're telling their children that they want implemented in the home.
Yeah.
That's a problem with our youth today. Mm. They're looking at us. They're watching us, aren't they?
Yeah. And definitely so. The teenagers are able to justify, well, I got hypocrites at home. The people are supposed to be my spiritual covering. You know, they're not living it. They're not walking it. Why should I? And the enemy uses that lie for them to justify, well, then I don't need to, or why should I, you know, give into this thing?
But you know, not only children, adults like to justify their sin Yeah. Not only do we like to justify, but we want to justify, we want to twist the scripture to cover it, and then we want to hide it.
Yeah, yeah.
All the while, our children are watching us.
Yeah. Or we do a thing what I call totem poling. You totem pole your sin. Well, my sin's just down here on the bottom here.
Right.
All these other people, they're doing this way crazy. That's the real bad stuff. I'm just doing, you know, I'm just doing this thing. That's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So, and we justify it that way also.
So God has anointed your heart. He's anointed your life. And he's given you the spiritual equipment to minister to his children, his young men and women. And therefore, a lot of the youth have come into your, or engaged in your life as your child. You become like their spiritual parents. How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, it's a humbling thing as far as being honored to have that, but it is also the weighty thing.
The responsibility.
Yeah, the responsibility. Yeah, because you don't want to let them down, because you know you're very, very well aware that you're not perfect yourself, and you're
absolutely
not going to do things right or say things right or whatever. So you got to be very cautious on the things that you say and the things that you don't say, the things you do and the things you don't do. So, yeah, but it's definitely a privilege, and I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. You know.
Now, Pastor Jason, John and I raised two awesome young men, and I didn't have anyone to talk to the other day, and I was worried about this class and this paper I had to write. And I said, who can I talk to? And the Holy Spirit said, talk to your sons. So I called one of my sons who lives far away, and the other one lives with me. And I asked them, and they conferred and ministered to me. And I was like, oh, thank you, God, that I have these awesome sons. And so I asked them, how did I get so lucky to have such awesome young men that I can now go to for counsel? Mm. And they said, look at where we come from. That's an honor to have your child say that to you. Mm. And that's the kind of seed that the ministry of Jesus Christ want to plant in our children coming up, and that you would be able to go out and see that seed multiply and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That's got to be one of the most awesome gifts of youth ministry that there is. I want to talk about how you met your beautiful wife, who happens to be a worship pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, when I left my home church to go find a youth pastor position, when my time was up with my mentor, I went to this church that she was a children's pastor at. And this church had gone through the youth pastors. It was some ridiculous thing, like 7 youth pastors within like a year and a half. So obviously the senior pastor was, youth pastor was pretty much a cuss word to him, you know, so he cringed at the thought of it. So my wife, Heidi, he knew and trusted and basically said, I'm going to leave it up to you. You're in charge of finding the youth pastor. So basically she was the one that interviewed me, her being the children's pastor, and she did worship there also sometimes, but she was the one that interviewed me there at the church to be the youth pastor. So a couple years down the road, once we started courting and everything.
So is that when you fell in love?
Yeah. She says that when we first met, she said something about, you know, oh, I noticed your eyes. That's what I fell in love with, was your eyes. Like, well, thanks. They came with a face. So I can't take credit for that. It just came with a face. So, but yeah, so people teased her for a long time after that, once we started courting and stuff, that she was not just interviewing for a youth pastor.
She was interviewing for a husband.
For a husband, yeah.
That's funny.
So, but yeah, she's an awesome woman. And, you know, I wanted, I went through a season where I was like a relationship addict, you know, that I was, you know, finding my identity and having that arm candy or whatever. And God took me through a season where I went 7 years without, having a girlfriend.
Do you think that's a man thing, though? Does that somehow affirm a man if he has a beautiful woman?
I think it goes both ways. I think it used to be known as the guy that does it, but I think girls are just as guilty, because we all have those legitimate needs in our life, you know, that we're trying to meet in illegitimate ways, you know.
Yeah, and I talked about last show that my affirmation was being successful in corporate America. That was like a drug for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it becomes an addiction.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
So, okay, God set you down for 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years. So, and that is one thing that really drew me to Heidi, was she was not, out with the meat market, you know, different whatever, you know, she was about the Father's business. She was not out, you know, dating and looking around. She was about ministry, you know, 24/7. So her focus was on God, and that's what drew me. So all the other girls that were, you know, interested in dating and that kind of stuff, that was just kind of a turnoff to me. But when I saw Heidi and her passion for God and she was focused, that's what I wanted, was somebody that was on fire for God and doing what God had called them to do, was about the Father's business, that was mm-hmm. pursuing their destiny, that wasn't looking around searching, you know, for their mate, which a lot of people, you know, get stuck in that rut to do.
Yes, yes. And out of that holy union, that divine intervention, that divine appointment mm-hmm. came a beautiful son.
Yes, Luke.
And Mark so Williams. How did that, because most men, when they talk to me about marriage, and a lot of women think, oh, men are just out there, they want to fool around, even in, quote, the church, they're wrong, because there's a lot of men out there who really want family, mm-hmm. and they're very serious about raising children and being that high priest of the home. Tell me about your son and how that changed you and grew you in ministry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely that was a big part of my life. You know, even as a teenager and a young adult, I was had the privilege to be on James Robinson's TV show years ago on Life Today before I was married, based on just the whole purity ring and waiting for God's best. And because that's been a heart, you know, so when I was married, I was able to give my wife the most precious gift anybody could give somebody, and that was my virginity.
Ooh, and praise the Lord.
She also gave me that, too, in return. So that was a...
Now, you know, that's rare. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't hear a lot of men saying, I want to give my wife this gift. I presented myself to her as mm-hmm. pure before the Lord. Right. That's powerful, Pastor. Yeah. I feel the anointing mm-hmm. in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I want to cry, but I'm going to hold it together.
Right.
I'm going to hold it together, okay? Mm-hmm. What drove you to want, other than... I know your relationship with God was pure, but there had to be something in you, because everyone has a choice, that you wanted to give this gift. Mm-hmm. What was it?
Well, I mean, I think I see so much. I mean, obviously the temptation that's around us day in, day out, and seeing so many people around me that we're also struggling with that, and the failures and the lack of faithfulness and stuff. And sometimes when you see that, it that kind of stirs you even more. Well, I don't want to be like that, and I don't want to be that kind of person. You know, because a lot of people they spend so much time on trying to find that perfect mate instead of allowing God to perfect in them who they're supposed to be. They spend all yes. their time trying to, you know, go down their list and saying, this is what I want mm-hmm. in a spouse. And that's fine to do that. But man, let God deal with you. You get your stuff together. Let God deal with that person and let his timing happen. Because mm-hmm. I think so many people, teenagers and especially young adults, man, they waste a lot of their key years, their crucial years of their singlehood, on the mate hunt, mm-hmm. you know, looking for the mate, instead of being about the Father's business, instead of focusing on what God has for them in those unique years that they have when they're not married. And those are important times where you can do a lot of things that sometimes, once you get married and you have a family, you're limited as far as finances or scheduling or, you know, sharing your time. So I think the enemy gets us in that trap of, you know, trying to be going from one relationship to another relationship, or looking for that mate and being consumed with that and being worried about that and stressed out about that.
I call it a distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you chose to be a true witness for yeah. our Lord and Savior, and so I say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that's the kind of leadership that the body of Christ needs mm-hmm. to encompass, needs to teach. Mm-hmm. Needs to mentor. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to ask you this. What is the most important thing to you personally about being a youth pastor?
Well, I'd say, you know, along with youth pastors, anybody in ministry, anybody that's, you know, claims to be a Christian, whatever that definition is nowadays, but what I call a disciple of Jesus, someone that's a follower of God, that's been born again, obviously the most important thing in any of that would be what Jesus said in Mark 12:30, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was his answer, is what's the greatest commandment. So that Mark 12:30 is, I think, the most crucial thing that anybody that's a believer, that it has to be your priority in life, that you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you definitely got to bring that into ministry as a youth pastor, children's pastor, senior pastor, worship pastor, any kind of, you know, if you're a lay pastor, you know, somebody that doesn't have, not getting paid by the church, but you're out there and you're pastoring people, man, you definitely have to make that your priority. Otherwise, ministry can become your God. And that's a scary thing. That's a challenge for a lot of people that wanted to be in some kind of ministry. It's so scary that they can let ministry become their God, and they can, you know, when they're opening up the Bible to read the Bible, well, now they're just looking for their next sermon, their next message versus,
right,
okay,
right,
God, speak to me.
That's
God, what
right.
do you want me to hear?
I love that. I love that because, you know, they spend so much time in that surface stuff that the root, which is the Word of God, which is laying before him and spending that time and having that intimate relationship, somehow that crosses a boundary. Mm. And it shouldn't. That should remain
mm-hmm.
the seed, the rock, the root.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Before we know it, we've crossed that line. And then your vision is impaired.
Mm.
Then you can't see. And what you think is right isn't. The Bible talks about that in Isaiah, but anyway, I want to talk about Jeremiah 29:11 because we kind of talked about that before we came on the air. And it's because, you know, having, you know, young people and being around a lot of my son's friends or whatever, they seem to be lost in a generation where they think that, well, there's no plan. You know, there's no direction. We can do whatever we want. We can watch whatever we want. We can say whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's no direction. And I want you to quote Jeremiah 29:11, and I want you to tell me what that means today.
Yeah. I mean, basically that is such a key verse for not just teenagers, but all of us. You know, that God, he does have plans for us, a plan for a hope and a future. And I think a lot of people don't catch that. I mean, it's like that old saying, you know, if you, you know, fail to plan, you plan to fail. That whole thing. It's like, man, if we don't understand that there is a plan, there's a purpose, and there's a destiny, then we're up for, you know, anybody else to tell us which direction we need to go or what we need to do or what we need to be. If we don't know who we are, if we don't have our foundation and our identity in God, then it's kind of up for grabs. And that's a crucial thing. And that's a foundation that I pursue to pour into young people's life is knowing that they have a purpose and a destiny, and that they are pursuing it actively. Otherwise, they're just going to be a pew warmer, and it's, you know, church and Christianity is just going to turn into a bunch of list of do's and don'ts, and it's become a religious thing versus a relationship thing and,
right.
and what God has for them. So
right.
I think that's very vital.
So I'm going to ask you this. How do you, Pastor Jason Williams, stop yourself or your life from crossing that line? What do you do to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God? How in all the busyness and all the need of ministry and teenagers and people calling and knocking on your door and all times of the night and all of that, how do you say, no, I've got to set aside this time this morning? You know, our pastor tells us early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
get before the Lord. Let that first of your day be unto him. How do you discipline yourself to maintain that type of lifestyle?
Yeah. And youth ministry is one of those crazy schedules and stuff, you know, so you might be at midnight, you know, counseling some people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things based on schedules and other meetings and that you have that you really have to make a point to get alone with God and have what quiet time, what called allowed time, whatever kind of time. It's just time with God. You're getting into his presence. It's like that, if you're familiar with the book Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, he was a monk, and basically he kind of learned, you know, he thought it was weird when his authority would come in and tell him, okay, you're done doing your cooking or whatever your duties, now it's time for you to go and do your prayer time. So you go in your prayer closet or whatever. He thought that was weird because he began to experience God's presence just as strong when he was doing his duties as he was in his quote-unquote prayer closet. He began to practice the presence of God, to live in the presence of God, like the Apostle Paul talked about, to pray without ceasing. And I think it's important that in the midst of our busy schedules that we learn to walk with God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16 to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
We need to understand that's a relationship with God, that we're walking with God. Yes, we need to have quiet times. Yes, we need to have Bible studies. Yes, we have times of worship, but we also need to learn to walk. It's a relationship that God is with us. It's like we're on speakerphone with him all the time, that we're aware. And it changes things. When you are that aware of God's presence, it changes you when you're facing temptation to say or do something. You're not, if you're that aware that God's presence is there with you, it makes you think twice before you go and do something that you're not supposed to, because he's your accountability partner first off. But man, you don't want to displease your father. You want to honor him. You don't want to hurt his heart. Yeah, you want to love him, and everything you say and do, you want to show love for what he's done for you.
Amen. Now, Pastor, you just said a word, accountability. Could you tell youth pastors out there that's listening, or, you know, an individual who may feel that they're called to be a youth pastor, about the concentric circle, about the people that you have in your life that you are accountable to, the people that pray over you and mentor you and minister to you, how important that is, that none of us have arrived, and that will never be until our Lord and Savior returns, that we are all pushing and pressing to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, different things happen on a daily basis. Our imperfections show, but we are perfected in Jesus Christ. But I want you to explain or discuss or give us an idea of how you do that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, accountability is crucial. And it's one of those things, and, you know, even with the teenagers and young adults and stuff I've had the privilege of ministering to and with, I've tried to help them establish accountability partners in their life, whether it's two or three people that they're accountable to. And, you know, unfortunately, accountability partners, I mean, it's a great phrase and great term, but what I think it really should be is your good friends. Those people that are your good friends should automatically become your accountability partners, because accountability partners, for the most part, are not just what a lot of people have turned their accountability into of once a week coming together and let's list off our sins. Oh, yeah, we fail here again. Yep, we did this again.
Yeah.
Well, you're just going to confession, and that's not really getting you anywhere. You know, how's it working for you? You know, if you're doing it week after week,
right.
You know, that's the definition of insanity, right. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So I think accountability is someone that you have that is in a close relationship with you. So when you are struggling with something, or you are feeling tempted, or you are faced with a decision, that you go to them before you do those things, before you allow yourself in a tempting situation, or before you make a decision that's going to affect, you know, this or that. Those are people that you bounce things off, or somebody that puts you in check, that gets in your face and say, "Whoa, wait a second, this isn't what you're called to do, or this is not right. You know, you said God's called you to do this, and you're getting off in this. You're getting off track here." So, and then also someone that really kind of stirs you up as far as, man, your passion for God and challenging you of, okay, let's, you know, get into the word here. What's God saying to you this week? And you're stirring each other up as iron sharpens iron.
Yes,
so goes, man,
yes.
That's an accountability partner that stirs up. So I have, you know, obviously my wife, Heidi, and then I have friends that I've had for, you know, 20 plus years that we know each other and trust each other. We keep each other in check. We can get in each other's face and be blunt and honest with each other, you know.
Yes.
And that's important, because it's so easy just to have surface relationships and kind of getting, you know, get secluded, and there's no one in there that's going to be blunt and say something that we need to hear.
Yes. I have friends, Pastor Jason, from third grade. And I was just recently in Youngstown, Ohio, and they gave a dinner for me, which I was 2 hours late. And they did. They gave it to me real good. But it was a wonderful fellowship. And it's good to have those kind of people in your life that keep you grounded, that know God, that love God, and that love you.
Yeah,
I love that. Now that we've established the rock and discuss the rock in your life, let's talk about the ministry. Let's talk about Ignite, and let's talk about the ministry that God has called you in, sometimes going into the schools or the inner cities, and different questions that young men are posing to you. Let's talk about that a minute.
Okay. Yeah, we were able to do some unique things, maybe more than others, as far as just having typical youth group meetings and stuff. We're able to go into some of the public schools and teach the abstinence message through Burlington Pregnancy Aid Center. So there's some public schools that we're going into now, and we're able to talk about how marriage, the best sex is in a marriage relationship. So that's a really cool thing for us to open those doors and to make a connection with those students. And then, you know, hopefully in turn, then they get plugged in and have a desire to come to our youth group. So there's a group of youth pastors that are actually a part of that. So it's a really cool deal that we're able to get into the public schools and share that.
But most of the people that you're mentoring and teaching in the schools have already had sex. So say the statistics.
Right. Yeah. Some of them have, and some of them haven't. Some of them will deny it all day long because they don't want to be made fun of. But you know, when you talk to them, some say they're embarrassing, but there's some that are standing strong. We have some that some Christians that are in these public schools that are standing strong. They're wearing their purity rings, that are saying that I'm going to wait for what God has for me. I'm not going to sell out. You know.
Yes. Yes. So, what are some of the events that you normally do in the youth group annually? And then I want you to talk about how people can get involved with youth ministry.
Okay. Yeah, we have a thing called Frat House. And Frat House is something that we do on about once a month. But we'll basically kind of rotate there. And the frat basically is just kind of, I asked God for a cool name, just something that wasn't instead of life group or home group or cell group. So frat stands for fellowship, reaching out, accountability, and testifying. So we kind of rotate those things so it's not, you know, predictable. So sometimes we'll go out and do certain evangelism or have times accountability, let the teenagers testify. But then we'll do other events. Once a year, we actually do a True Love Waits retreat where we focus on sexual purity and waiting for God's best and dating and courtship and that kind of thing. And then we'll do an annual back-to-school bash where we invite the community out and, you know, 15-plus churches come out. We just had one, had 125 young people come forward for our salvations and rededications and stuff. So it's a great event. We just started our camp last year called Encounter God's Presence, and we had about 8 different churches come out to that, and God is showing up and doing some amazing things through Encounter God's Presence camp. So we're excited about that.
Amen. Well, Pastor, you know, it looks like our time is up. You're going to have to come back. You have an awesome ministry. Thank you so much for joining us here at Vine Life. Would you say a little prayer for us, Pastor?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And if people want more information about the ministry at the church, they can go to godigniteme.org. And there's some really good resources that we found that they can connect with.
Or they can contact you at PastorJason@TPCFamily.org also?
Yes, definitely.
Or you can email me at www.theinterviews.com for more information. Go ahead and just say a prayer over the youth. Mm-hmm. And over those who are called to this ministry.
Okay. Father God, I just pray for every person that is out there that has a desire to serve you. And God, I pray that you would speak to them clearly, God, if they are called to be a part of a full-time ministry in the sense of a church, or if you call them into full-time ministry to be out in the marketplace. God, I pray that they would hear from you clearly, God. I pray that you would open all those doors, God, and I pray that you'd put mentors around them, God, to encourage them and to prepare them to do what you've called them to do. And God, I pray that they would be able to walk in the grace that you have for them, and they'd walk in that grace. And I thank you, God, that you will give them peace, God, the peace that passes all understanding, God, in the midst of difficult times. God, I pray for those youth pastors and youth group leaders that are struggling, that are feeling burned out. God, I pray that they would look to you, God, and they would receive that grace. God, your grace is more than enough. Your grace is sufficient. And God, you would, again, give them that peace that passes all understanding. God, if they're going through those dry times, those hard times, God, that they would receive from you. God, I pray for the teenagers, God, that you draw them to you. God, they would know that you love them, you care for them, and that you have their best in mind. God, I pray that they would just fall in love with you. God, they would respond to your love in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jason.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you, audience, for joining us here at Vine Life. This time and next time, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information on today's program, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.